This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Our guest, Randall Park, stars in the ABC sitcom Fresh Off the Boat, the first TV program in two decades to center around an Asian American family. The story is told from the point of view of an American-born boy whose parents immigrated to the U.S. from Taiwan. Randall Park plays the father, Lewis. At the start of the series, Lewis decided to move the family from their home in Washington, D.C.'s Chinatown to a predominantly white neighborhood in Orlando, Florida, where he's bought a cowboy-themed restaurant. The series is loosely adapted from a memoir by chef Eddie Wong, who has since distanced himself from the series. Randall Park takes the responsibility of portraying one of the few Asian American characters on TV very seriously. And he thought long and hard before accepting the role as North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un in last year's Seth Rogen-James Franco comedy, The Interview. Park spoke with Fresh Air producer Anne-Marie Baldonado. Fresh Off the Boat is now in its second season. Let's hear a clip from the first episode of the show. The father, Lewis, played by Randall Park, is speaking with his wife Jessica, played by Constance Wu. They're talking about their new restaurant.
I was blow-drying my hair, and I figured it out, how the restaurant can attract bigger crowds.
What? How?
I need to hire a white host. Instead of people coming in and seeing a Chinese face and saying, huh? I thought this was an old West steakhouse. They see a white face and say, oh, hello, white friend. I am comfortable. See? Exactly. Not welcoming. That's why no to your face and yes to the white face. Nice, happy white face like Bill Pullman.
Randall Park, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you're connected to Fresh Off the Boat fairly early in the process. A lot has been made about the fact that Fresh Off the Boat is the first TV show in, you know, 20 years, two decades that centers around an Asian American family. Can you talk about that, like kind of the burden of being, you know, one of the only examples out there of Asian American characters?
Yeah, I mean, when the show was announced, before the show even came out, everyone in the community seemed to know about it and were really excited about it, but also really worried about the show because there were so few examples of, you know, Asian or Asian American lead characters on American TV or even in the movies. And the ones that have existed for so long were either stereotypical or offensive in some way, or just not reflective of the lives of people in the community. And for me, you know, I have a background in Asian American studies, so it was important to me too that the show do good by the community. But at the same time, the community is not monolithic. You know, there's so many different kinds of people and different kinds of perspective in the community, and everyone, it seemed for a while, wanted their perspective to be represented. And you know, you can't do that with one show. And me being a people pleaser, you know, of course I wanted everybody in the community to love the show, and I wanted everybody outside of the community to love the show. But you know, we could only do our best with what we had. And I think we really stayed true, you know, to our story and what we wanted to tell. And thankfully, a lot of people in the community ended up really embracing it and loving it. And I'm just so glad with how it all turned out.
Now, of course, Fresh Off the Boat, it's a sitcom. So I'm sure you and everybody involved wanted it to be, you know, funny. And I was wondering what you wanted to make sure that you did or didn't do to keep the show grounded and funny, you know, if this is kind of a simplistic way to put it, but to make sure that people are laughing with you and not at you. I'm just sure that it's just something you all have to think about very seriously.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, ultimately, just having the goal of making sure that first and foremost, the show is funny. And really, I mean, not going there in terms of the stereotypical jokes, the easy jokes, the racist jokes. That was easy for us to avoid because to us, that's not funny.
Now, I read that you don't like to do accents. And Lewis, the father you play on the show, he has an accent. And I'm just thinking that sometimes accent ends up being something that is part of the joke, you know, the stereotypical joke. And I was just wondering, accents for parts or using an accent in auditions, that must be something that you've dealt with throughout your career.
Yeah, for sure. When I first started acting, I just wouldn't do it no matter what. I didn't even think of like the character or the story being told. As soon as there was an accent, I was like, no, I'm not going to do it, because I was just so used to characters. Whenever there was an accent, it always felt one note. It always felt like the butt of the joke most of the time. But over time, throughout my career, you know, I kind of learned to differentiate more when characters were making fun of the accent or making the accent a part of the joke as opposed to just a part of who the person is. And I felt like with Lewis and other characters that I've played, the accents were more a part organic to who the person was. I mean, my parents speak with accents, and a lot of immigrants do, and that's just the reality. And so to have that be a part of the character, it wasn't a problem for me.
Now, there's a scene I want to play from that first episode from the first season, the pilot. And I want to play it because when I saw it originally, it made me think, you know, this series, it's going to be different. I don't know if it's going to mm-hmm. be subversive, but it's going to show a different perspective. Eddie, mm-hmm. the oldest son of the family, is having a tough time at school. And it's a predominantly white school. And he gets into a fight with the only other kid of color in his class, an African-American kid who's also kind of on the lower tier of the social hierarchy, so much so that his only friend is an adult. He doesn't have any friends in school. And so instead of sort of bonding and being different, the two kids of color actually get into a fight. I think that's something pretty nuanced and pretty interesting thing to look at in a school with a lack of diversity. And so the African-American student ends up calling Eddie a racial slur, and then Eddie gets into a fight. Eddie actually ends up fighting back, and the principal then calls the parents into his office. So the parents, Lewis, played by you, Randall Park, and Jessica, played by Constance Wu, are talking to the principal in his in the principal's office, and the principal is played by David Goldman. Let's take a listen.
Yeah.
And according to the lunch monitor, he kicked him in the groinal area, shoved a pudding in his face, and unleashed a stream of obscenities I can't repeat because God is listening. There were some words he used that I've never heard before, and I grew up in Boston. This is a very serious offense, Mr. and Mrs. Huang.
Yes, it is. We are very upset that you didn't do anything to defend Eddie.
Excuse me?
That boy called our son a chink. You think that's okay? Why didn't you do anything about that?
How come only Eddie's out there? How come that boy is not also out there? Where are his parents?
Or his 40-year-old best friend. And why aren't we talking about the fact that he has a 40-year-old best friend? The school's fine with that?
Fishy.
I don't think you understand. We're talking about possible suspension.
If you try to suspend our son because of this, we will sue everyone in this school.
So fast, it'll make your head spin. Hey. It's the American way, right?
You know about that.
That's a scene from the first episode of Fresh Off the Boat. Now, you are playing an Asian American dad in the show who owns a business. And
yeah.
Your dad, I think, was also a business owner. Are there similarities between your dad and Lewis, the character you play?
Totally. My dad, well, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. And my dad, for a good stretch, had a one-hour photo store in Santa Monica. And I would go over there and help him on the weekends. And, you know, it was a real struggle, especially as the digital age kind of dawned on us. People stopped going to get their film developed at these one-hour photo stores. So I could really see my dad's kind of struggle to kind of keep this business going and to keep it alive and to support his family. And it's definitely something that Lewis, my character, goes through with his steakhouse. But also, I was always surprised because my dad was more reserved at home. But whenever I'd visit him on the weekends at his little store in Santa Monica, I'd notice that everybody in that community loved him. Like, he was really almost a different person out there, just really jovial and talkative, and all the neighboring business owners would come by and they'd laugh it up. And I mean, my dad was a real man of the people, and this was something I never really got to see at home. And that's something that is really reflective of Lewis, the character I play too, because he's just like that. He's this guy who just loves people. And it was really helpful in terms of playing Lewis and my approach to him, just remembering how my dad was.
So I do have to ask you about the interview, and it seems funny that I guess it's just 9 or 10 months ago when this all happened, but
Yeah, it's so crazy. Gosh.
Yeah, so I have to ask you about the interview. The film stars James Franco and Seth Rogen, and you played Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, or at least a version of him. And just to remind people, you know, the interview was scheduled to come out last Christmas, but Sony canceled the majority of the release after distributors decided not to show it because they were getting bomb threats from a group called Guardians of Peace, supposedly connected to North Korea. But James Franco plays a talk show host who secures an interview with Kim Jong-un. And the U.S. government tries to get the host and his producer, played by Seth Rogen, to assassinate the dictator. And I'm going to play a clip from the film. It turns out Kim Jong-un is a big fan of the James Franco character. And after they first meet, they realize they have a lot in common and they have this fun, they have a meet cute. They have a fun date together. And this scene takes place in a tank.
Katy Perry? You know, my wife must have put that in there because I've never heard this before in my life.
I love Katy Perry. Baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you're worth.
I love it. I mean, I have this on. I listen to this all the time.
Really?
I love her. You know why I really like her? Because she has such a strong message for young women and girls across the planet.
It's so empowering.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, sometimes I feel like a plastic bag.
Drifting through the wind?
Wanting to start again.
Oh. As you shoot across the sky.
Sky. Oh, good times.
Yeah.
Dave, do you think that margaritas are gay because they are so sweet?
Did someone tell you that? That margaritas are gay?
No, it's just a question I have.
If liking Katy Perry and drinking margaritas is gay, who wants to be straight?
Well, not me.
Boring. Margaritas are great.
And whoever planted that in your head is crazy.
That's a scene from the interview. You do a really good job in the film of making him kind of a full character, making him at times relatable, but also, you know, super evil and a crazy person. Can you talk about striking that balance? Because, you know, it's not like you're playing just an average bad guy, you know?
I did a lot of research as much as I could. You know, there's not that much information out there on him because they are just so secretive and you never know what, you know, what's propaganda and what's real. But there were pieces of information out there on him that I really identified with. There were accounts of him in international school, just kind of sitting there at his desk, doodling pictures of Michael Jordan and his obsession with the NBA and with American movies. I mean, these are all things that I could definitely identify with. Also, you know, him being kind of chubby and awkward, and, you know, those were all things that I could really identify with. And so those were things that I felt like I could bring into the character, make him definitely more insecure and sensitive at times.
Yeah, and then you do become quite scary. That's a
given. Yeah. I mean, he's Kim Jong-un, you know.
Now, you said for a long time you were doing the acting and comedy on the side, kind of like a hobby. You've said that you kind of called it a hobby. And was part of the reason you think you weren't going to pursue acting as a career your parents?
Yeah, for sure. My parents were definitely not supportive of me pursuing acting. And, you know, I totally understand why. I mean, coming here from Korea as immigrants, it's like a story of sacrifice, like most immigrant stories. It's about sacrifice. They come here, they leave their family behind, their friends and all the comforts of home, and they come here knowing that life is not going to be easy. It's going to be an adjustment, but they do it so that their kids can have opportunities that they didn't have, and so that their kids could find success and happiness. You know, statistically, most actors, most comedians, aspiring comedians, aspiring actors, they don't quote unquote make it, you know. And my parents knew that, so they were really, really against against me even trying, because that's not why they made this journey. And it took me a while to understand that. Because at the beginning, it was like, why don't you support me? I have so many friends who are trying it, non-Asian friends who are, you know, throwing their hat in the ring, and their parents are like cheering them on. And here I had no support. But now that I'm older and I have a kid, I totally understand where they were coming from.
Do you remember the first time your parents saw you perform, and also the first time they saw your work and thought, it's okay if you do this as a career. This is what you should be doing.
One of the first jobs I did was a local commercial on the Chinese channel here in Los Angeles. The whole thing was in Cantonese, I think, and I didn't have any lines, but I was kind of the focus of the commercial. It was for these liver pills, and my character played this dad who comes home super tired, and he's yawning, and he doesn't have enough energy to play with his kid, and then his kid grabs these liver pills and gives them to his dad, and all of a sudden he's awake. And that was like the first job I ever booked, and I thought it was going to change my life. I thought it was such a big deal. And I remember showing it to my parents, and my mom immediately saying, you have to quit right now. You are a really bad actor. And I look back at that commercial, and I was so bad. I was really bad. But at the time, I was really hurt. So my plan from there on out was, you know, I'm just not going to tell them anything. But eventually they start seeing me in commercials, and I wouldn't even have even told them about these commercials. And then I'd hear from my parents' friends and coworkers that they were like so proud of me. And they would never say this to my face, but eventually it became something that I started sharing with them, like the news of my career, and they started being really enthusiastic about it. And now like they're like my biggest fans, and it's so cool that they could be a part of everything, including the interview. They were like really psyched about that.
Oh, that was
so
sad.
Great.
That was sad then, because the interview didn't have like a premiere or anything, right? They canceled all that stuff
after
all the controversy came out.
Yeah.
So you couldn't share that premiere moment or something.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, hopefully I'll get a nice role, a lead role in a film, and you'll see me walking the red carpet with my mom and dad.
Well, Randall Park, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Randall Park spoke with Fresh Air producer Anne-Marie Baldonado. His TV show, Fresh Off the Boat, airs Tuesdays on ABC.